Well, we'll conclude our study of Hebrews 12, 4 through 17 this evening. But before you turn there, I would like to read the two Old Testament passages to which our writer refers in those three verses we'll consider this evening. So first of all, turn with me to Genesis chapter 25. Genesis chapter 25 records how Esau sold his birthright for a morsel of food. So Genesis chapter 25 verses 29 through 34. So hear God's word. Now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, "Please feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary." Therefore his name was called Edom. But Jacob said, "Sell me your birthright as of this day." And Esau said, "Look, I'm about to die. So what is this birthright to me?" Then Jacob said, "Swear to me as of this day." So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. Then he ate and drank, arose and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Now turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 29. Deuteronomy chapter 29. Again, you will notice this is another warning against idolatry. The Israelites are poised to enter the promised land. They are on the plains of Moab. And the Lord, through Moses, issues another solemn warning to his people to avoid idols. And so, verses 9 through 21. "Therefore, keep the words of this covenant and do them, that you may prosper in all you do. All of you who stand today before the Lord your God, your leaders and your tribes and your elders and your officers, all the men of Israel, your little ones and your wives, also the stranger who is in your camp, from the one who cuts wood to the one who draws water, that you may enter into covenant with the Lord your God and into his oath, which the Lord your God makes with you today, that he may establish you today as a people for himself, and that he may be God to you, just as he has spoken to you, and just as he has sworn to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I make this covenant and this oath not with you alone, but with him who stands here, with us today before the Lord our God, as well as with him who is not here with us today. For you know that we dwelt in the land of Egypt, and that we came to the nations which you passed by. And you saw their abominations and their idols which were among them, wood and stone and silver and gold. So that there may not be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turns away today from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations, and that there may not be among you a root bearing bitterness or wormwood. And so it may not happen, when he hears the words of this curse, that he blesses himself in his heart, saying, 'I shall have peace, even though I follow the dictates of my heart,' as though the drunkard could be included with the sober. The Lord would not spare him, for then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy would burn against that man, and every curse that is written in this book would settle on him, and the Lord would blot out his name from under heaven. And the Lord would separate him from all the tribes of Israel for adversity, according to all the curses of the covenant that are written in this book of the law." Oh, please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. verses 5 through 11, he encouraged these Hebrew Christians and us not to despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged by it. And then he strengthens this argument with an encouragement and a warning. And so I'll read that encouragement and warning beginning in verse 12 of chapter 12. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all people, and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. Our text this evening is a warning against the bitter root of idolatry. When things get tough in the race of faith, when we are fatigued and tired, we are tempted to distrust God. We may begin to think that He's not with us, and we turn to idols. Very often we want to alter the true God into something less demanding, something more like us. We may turn to the idol of self, the idol of human strength or human wisdom. Whatever it may be, idols will trip us up in this race of faith. Idolatry, if left unchecked, can disqualify us from the race altogether. And so the writer has warned us not to despise the discipline of the Lord. He tells us that God is training us because He loves us. His discipline doesn't mean that He's not with us, but rather it means that He loves us very much. And so this morning we considered the encouragement that He brought, the encouragement to strengthen our feeble arms and our weak knees, and to do the same for our brothers and sisters. And now He warns us. He warns us against the bitter root of idolatry. And so that'll be our focus this evening, verses 15 through 17. So in these verses, we're warned against the dire consequences of quitting the race of faith. First, in verse 15, he tells us to beware of the root of bitterness, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. That's a warning. He wants us to watch out, to make sure that we don't fall short of the finish line. Now notice the race language. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short. But what is this root of bitterness that he warns of? He says, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble. Well, the bitter root is a phrase from the Old Testament, specifically from that passage we just read in Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy 29, we read of someone who is part of the covenant community. In other words, someone who is part of the church, yet they are an idolater. In Deuteronomy 29:18, we read, "Beware, lest there be among you a man or woman or clan or tribe whose heart is turning away today from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of those nations." Now listen to this statement. Beware lest there be among you a root bearing poisonous and bitter fruit. So that's the bitter root of Hebrews 12. It's the bitter root of idolatry. And you know the history and the story of Israel in the wilderness. They had made an outward identification with God's people. They were part of the church. But what happened? They got tired, they compromised, and they quit the race. They grumbled and they complained. They wanted to go back to Egypt. As we read about the golden calf, they were plagued by idols. They got caught up in idolatry, and the end result was that a great many of them failed to enter the promised rest of Canaan. And so the writer is saying, this bitter root of idolatry, if left unchecked, will give birth to apostasy. Idolatry has consequences. It is a root bearing poisonous and bitter fruit. It can eventually lead a person to forsake Christ. Now, Moses goes on in Deuteronomy 29 to describe the idolaters' rationale for their sin. And I want you to hear these words very carefully, because this describes the rationale for each and every one of us in our idolatry and our sin. Listen to what this person says to themselves. When he hears the words of this sworn covenant, he blesses himself in his heart, saying, I shall be safe, though I walk in the stubbornness of my heart. We think, well, I'm okay. I belong to the church. I'm a Christian. I will be safe, even though I do my own thing. The writer says, this will bring disaster. And again, we see the masterful use of the Old Testament. Because there were people in this Hebrew church that were thinking about doing this very thing. They thought that they could give up Christ with no consequence. They thought that they could have Jesus plus their idols with no consequence. And so he solemnly warns them. He says, beware of the bitter root of idolatry. And then in Deuteronomy 29:20, we read of the awful result of this bitter root of idolatry. We read that the Lord will not be willing to forgive him, but rather the anger of the Lord and his jealousy will smoke against that man, and the curses written in this book will settle upon him, and the Lord will blot out his name from under heaven. Awful results. And remember, these Hebrew Christians would have been very familiar with this passage. Idolatry has consequences. It can lead to apostasy. And so the writer says to us, beware lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. And as we think about this root of bitterness, that idolatry is something that promises happiness, but here we learn it ends in bitterness. And how many in the church today are bitter? How many Christians today struggle, especially in their later years, with bitterness? This is connected with idolatry. We think, I love Jesus, but I also want what the world has to offer. We think that we can have Jesus plus our idols with no consequence. But here the writer says that is an insidious root that will result in bitterness. Now he strengthens this warning with one final example that I hope you will see is a brilliant example. We see it in verses 16 and 17. He says, "Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears." It's a powerful example. He says to these Jews, do not be like Esau. And friends, no Jew wanted to be like Esau. Esau is the Judas of the Old Testament. If in a sermon I looked you in the eye and I said, do not be like Judas, if I was serious, you would be shaken. You would be maybe even offended. And that's the force here. Esau was the epitome of an apostate and a traitor. Esau was the man who despised his birthright. Esau was the most insulting and offensive name you could call someone. You don't read of anybody else in the scriptures being named Esau. And what did he do that was so bad? He sold his invisible birthright for a morsel of food. In other words, he didn't persevere in the race. He was hungry, so he gave up his heavenly blessing for physical relief in the here and now. He couldn't see his birthright. He couldn't eat it. He couldn't touch it. And so he gave it up for temporary physical relief. And later on, he was remorseful. He was sorry. But it was too late. He sold his birthright, and he would never get it back. And so do you see how brilliant this is? Do you see the connection? The writer is saying, you are in danger of doing the same thing that Esau did. If you get tired in the race and you compromise and you give up your faith, if you take wealth and happiness and relief and temporal blessing instead of Jesus, then you are selling your birthright. He's saying to these Jewish Christians, you want to go back to the old covenant practices because it's going to give you relief. You want to go back to what you can see and hear and touch, just like Esau. You want quick relief, just like Esau. But he warns them. He says, but the day will come when you have realized what you have done, and it may be too late. And friends, we have to remember that people who reject Christ, people who commit apostasy, often later on realize what they have done, and they are sorry. They are sorry they abandoned Jesus. Esau was sorry. Judas was sorry. But there comes a point when you cross a line, when you get to the point of no return, and God simply gives you over, and you're lost forever. These are powerful words. Listen to verse 17. It says, for you know that afterward, remember the afterward of blessing for those who submit themselves to the discipline of the Lord. Here's the afterward for someone who gives up. He says, for you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. A powerful example. This is the warning. Do not be like Esau. Esau wanted relief in the here and the now. And these Hebrew Christians wanted relief in the here and now. They wanted the pain to stop. They wanted to be accepted by their families and their friends and their communities. They wanted visible, tangible relief. They were tired of suffering. They were tired of living by faith. The race was simply too hard. And they were thinking about selling their birthright. So, brothers and sisters, remember that Jesus Christ is our birthright. If you're part of the church, if you have been baptized, Jesus has placed His mark upon you. He says to you, I am your birthright. I am your inheritance. And every time a professing Christian abandons Jesus, you're doing the same thing that Esau did. And every time you choose to sin, you're doing the same thing that Esau did. You are choosing temporary pleasure over the eternal blessing of God. And as I thought about this passage this week, I couldn't help but think of the current attitude towards the church. Jesus Christ is our birthright. And one of the most tangible manifestations of our birthright, of those blessings that come along with it in this life, is the church. It's the most important society in this world. It's where we literally get a foretaste of our inheritance, of our birthright. And yet you look at the attitude towards the church today. There's a tremendously low view of the church of Jesus Christ. And we see that many Christians, many of us, are no different than Esau. If we have a low view of the church, we may be like Esau, despising our birthright. And so this was a powerful example to these Jews. I mean, we read over this very easily. Don't be like Esau. But this would have been a powerful example to these Jews. They did not want to be like Esau. Esau was an apostate and a traitor. His life was a life of tragedy and bitterness. Esau was an example of what happens when that bitter root of idolatry grows up and destroys a person. So this example would have shocked these Hebrew Christians. Don't be like Esau. Don't be an apostate. And it's a powerful warning for us as well. It calls to our minds all of the other warnings in this letter against apostasy. I mean, think about all of them. We're told not to neglect the Son, not to harden our hearts, to take care, lest there be in any of us an evil and unbelieving heart leading us to fall away from the living God. He goes on to tell us not to miss God's rest, not to crucify Jesus all over again, not to hold Him up to contempt. He warns us against sinning willfully after we've received a knowledge of the truth. All of these warnings against apostasy can be summed up by this one example. Do not be like Esau. He is the epitome of an apostate and a traitor. So we must not be like Esau. We must be vigilant against this bitter root of idolatry. And the sermon that you listened to last Lord's Day reminded all of us of how insidious that root is. And so remember that salvation by grace through faith is our birthright. But all of us, when the race gets hard, we think about selling that birthright. We would rather have an easy life. We would rather do what we want like the rest of the world does. The writer warns us. He says, watch out, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. He says, don't give up. Don't despise the discipline of the Lord. The Lord's training is hard, but it's worth it. And if you give up, it will be the worst mistake you have ever made. It's a subtle danger. Apostasy is something that creeps up on us like a root that grows slowly. And so we have to run this race with endurance. We have to look unto Jesus who has run the race for us. We have to follow his examples. We have to flee from this bitter root of idolatry. So this is the writer's encouragement to us. He points us to the meaning of God's discipline, that it means that he loves us very much, that it means that we belong to him. And he tells us of the results, the peaceable fruits of righteousness, holiness. The results of the Lord's chastening is that we will be like him. And then the encouragement that we are to strengthen ourselves and to strengthen one another. That we are to pursue peace and holiness without which no one will see the Lord. And finally, the warning. Don't be like Esau. Beware that bitter root of idolatry, which if left to spring up, will cause trouble. So let us look to Jesus and run this race that has been set before us. Let's pray.